the opposite, where mourning is not blessed. Those who mourn over the loss of their things, those who mourn over their riches, those who mourn over their poverty in spirit. Oh, I'm so poor. Mourn. Rather, we should mourn our abundance. We should mourn our blindness and our inability to lay aside the things which separate us from the kingdom of heaven. Yes, those that mourn in sadness and loss and so on and so forth. You know, when people lose someone who's dear to them and the feeling of that, someone who empathizes with the feelings of others, or who sorrows over true loss, happy are they. Happy are they that mourn. That's a contradiction. Happy are the sad. Because those who are sad at the unrighteousness and the ungodliness, and those who mourn and weep at the state of the church, and those who are affected by those things which are contrary to sound doctrine, which are contrary to what God has declared ought to be, happy are they, because God is going to comfort them in the end. But to those who rejoice in the wickedness and ungodliness of the world and of the churches, you are going to joy now, but you will sorrow later. Verse 5. Happy are the meek. Everyone loves this one for some reason. Let's hear it, you know. For they shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Meekness is sort of the opposite of boldness. And there's an interesting dynamic there, because Christ taught the meek are blessed. And Paul said we have boldness to enter with access to God. But of course, as always, all these are given in a certain sense. There's a certain poverty that's good, right? I want to be poor in the ways of this world. I want to be poor in ungodliness. But I want to be rich in righteousness, holiness, temperance, and truth. I want to be rich in knowledge and poor in ignorance. I want to mourn the evil and rejoice for good. Not rejoice over evil. Oh, isn't it wonderful all the evil they're doing these days? We're so happy, you know, that they've passed more laws that will increase ungodliness. Rejoice in the meek. There's a happy and sad meekness. Happy are those who are meek, for they inherit the earth. But sad are those who are meek when it comes to doing right. You know? Like, the idea of meek has the idea of tameness. Like you would tame an animal. So it doesn't necessarily mean like a sense of... Jesus doesn't mean those who are meek in everything. At every moment, they are always meek. Because Christ was meek and mild, yet at the same time, he took a scourge, or made a whip, and whipped the money changers out of the temple, which is not a very meek thing to do. But he was meek in the sight of God. He was meek in that he was humble about himself, and humble before God and men, not boasting of himself before men. Not being, though I could have occasion to be very bold towards people and say, listen to me, God has sent me to tell you this message. You know, though Jesus could come and say, I'm the Son of God. Bam, bam, crack. Bring down bolts of lightning, legions of angels. But God had chosen and ordained that he should follow a path of meekness, of restraint. Meekness means restraint. And knowing when to restrain and when to let loose is wisdom. To know when it is right to mourn and when it is time to rejoice is wisdom. And understanding these things. This form of wisdom is not unusual for the scriptures, where you have the counter and the right. And because some people might listen to this and say, Paul, you almost seem like you're contradicting the Lord. I mean, I understand what you're saying is true, but I mean, why are you taking this tack on it? Well, there's a time to rejoice, there's a time to weep, right? Ecclesiastes. Jesus, at one point in the gospel, says, take no sword with you. And later on, he says, if you don't have a sword, you better go buy one. You know, when he talks to his disciples, he says, they say, Lord, would you have us burn down this city with fire from God from heaven? Shall we call down fire? He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. But then in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, you see the two witnesses doing things like Elijah did. blowing fire out of their mouth to devour their enemies and to put them to death. So there are different times for different ministries. There's times for meekness. There's times for boldness. It is, you want to be meek. You want to be tame when it comes to unrighteousness. You want to be meek and tame when it comes to doing evil. You know, and Jesus always gives the key in what sense he means meekness. For they shall inherit the earth. Though they be heirs of all, though they be joint heirs with Christ, yet they show meekness. We don't ground saying, we're God's elect, and you better listen to us. Your damnation is coming. I mean, Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's a very bold claim. I don't see a lot of people up there saying, turn from your sins right now, because God's kingdom is about to come. So Christ is advocating a form of meekness. Like I said, this is never supposed to be construed to mean, at all times we must show absolute meekness. It's sort of like patience. You know, God is patient, but and long-suffering. But eventually his patience runs out, doesn't it? God, according to the scriptures, is going to judge everything and end everything. And there's not going to be like this, well, I'll just keep waiting. No one likes to wait forever. One does not have to restrain oneself in the face of everything. But it is in the sense of who we are in God. Relative to that, we are meek. Though we be the sons of God, though we be heirs and joint heirs with Christ, we are restrained. We restrain ourselves. In verse 6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, there are people who hunger and thirst after all sorts of things in this world. They're hungering and thirsting after pornography. They're hungering and thirsting after strong drink. They're hungering and thirsting after unrighteousness and ungodliness. But Jesus says, no, blessed are, happy are those who are hungering and thirsting after that which is right, after righteousness. You know, when I tell people that Christ expects us to behave ourselves righteously, and that he has given us the power to do that in every circumstance, and that we ought to believe that as a promise of God in order to obtain it, and they react negatively to that, I think to myself, what a miserable person. The joy of the Lord is not in them. Because if you have the joy of the Lord in you, if God is doing anything in you to cause you to be happy in something, that you would be happy of one thing, to hear the truth proclaimed to you, that righteousness is your heritage. Righteousness is that which God wants to give you. And I say that to people, and that they would not receive that with joy is it is sad and pathetic. It is absolutely a horrible thing. It is really very alien to the scriptures. We're supposed to have a sort of a hungering and a thirsting. We're starving. You know, let's say you are not